Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set. Just call me Swanny.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swan back in the saddle. Once again, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400, the Midlands, heard around the world on the iHeart Radio application. College football, oof, man, it is headed towards becoming a completely different world, no doubt about that. We also will dive into some Clemson Tiger baseball as they take on College of Charleston this week. Today, as a matter of fact, at Segra Park, they'll take on Coastal Carolina next week in the midweek. The news out of the Atlantic Coast Conference, according to David Hale from ESPN, continuing the conversation that we had here on the program yesterday about the potential that we would see a move to essentially a divisionless league, appears that what we might be looking at is, according to Dan Radakovich, Miami's athletic director, former Clemson athletic director, a 3-3-5 scheduling model without decisions, and they want to run it past their TV partners to get the official decision, said closer to the end than the beginning on that front and also selecting permanent partners. Now, when you tally all that up, like a 3-3-5, you get to 11. And so my hunch is that the way they've got this drawn up, because you play 12 games, would be three opponents that are locked in that you stay with, five conference opponents that rotate, and then three games outside of the conference. And then, of course, if you have a rival, then that would be the other game. So, essentially, it would help you maneuver through every team in the league a little bit more easily. Now, I haven't seen any true resolution of what the 3-3-5 stands for, but that's my guess. Three locked in, three wide open, go get who you want, five that rotate in the league, and then you've got an additional game for a rivalry matchup like Clemson and South Carolina, Georgia and Georgia Tech, etc. I don't necessarily dislike it. I think sometimes these things are hard to kind of fathom when you look at the league as a whole. I do also kind of wonder how Notre Dame will factor into this rotation being on the outside of the Atlantic Coast Conference. But I think one of the things that we are at least going to be getting is more variety in the schedules if it were to go this route. I don't know that there's a perfect scenario with leagues getting as big as they've gotten, but I think that this and a larger pool of rotation should help you out as it pertains to being able to, you know, if you are, I think I heard earlier today that Alabama, or maybe it's Georgia. Yeah, Georgia, I don't think has ever played at Texas A&M since A&M has been in the league. I think that's right. That doesn't make sense. These things should happen more frequently. And so with a little change over to it, I think the question for Tiger fans and for fans across the league would become, who do you want to be matched up with as your three locked-in teams? I think Florida State, for most Clemson fans, would stay number one. I think that there are a lot of people that would feel a little bit like I do, that Georgia Tech would be the other, given how long you've played this team, given the fact that they've been your cross-divisional rival, given the fact that it's a two-hour drive down to Atlanta for a great atmosphere and in a quaint environment, I guess might be the better term. Maybe not a great atmosphere, but a nice environment at Grant Field when you get to play them at Bobby Dodd Stadium. And then I think it comes down to two other teams, either NC State or Louisville. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're going to talk about bumping up your schedule every year, then maybe you want to hook up your cross-divisional rival with Miami. I think the other thing that you could potentially see morph out of this to increase, and I'm assuming this would increase it, but every so often, drop off your three locks for three different locks. And so maybe for 10 years, you're locked in with Florida State, Louisville, and Georgia Tech, but then later on, you get locked in with Miami, North Carolina, and Wake Forest. And so then you're adding even, I would guess, even more variety to the schedule over the years. 803-450-0086. Factoring in Notre Dame, I'm not again certain how that will play out for the Fighting Irish. But I do think, kind of given the, is it fair to say, blasé nature of scheduling in recent years, where Clemson was always going to face Wake Forest, NC State, Louisville, Florida State, Syracuse, Boston College, then you were going to get that locked-in crossover opponent like Georgia Tech. And then you were going to get your other Coastal Division opponent on your schedule like this past season when Clemson took on Pittsburgh on the road mid-season. I think that there is a lot to like about refreshing the schedule. I think for a team like Clemson, maybe some other teams around the country, some teams whose resumes get criticized, it could be a nice way to occasionally have a little bit of a bolstered schedule, if you will. But yeah, I think, you know, if this model does indeed come to fruition and it holds firm, and again, I trying to speculate what a 3-3-5 model technically is, because we don't have much insight into that. I think, again, you'd be looking at three teams in your league you rotate, or excuse me, three teams in your league that are locked in, five teams in your league that rotate, and then three non-cons, and then you have your other game against your rival for 12. 803-450-0086. Let us know. What do you think? Are you good with this? We kind of discussed it yesterday, going divisionless, opening things up, schedule rotations, and the ability to play at different venues would happen much more frequently. Strength of schedule, I think, you know, could waver, but you might have some years where it's up, Certainly, you're going to have some years where it's down. You're probably going to have some years where you're in a little bit of a different situation, simply from the standpoint of the luck of the draw. I guess technically it could mean that a team doesn't have the resume to perhaps put themselves in position to make the college football playoff or an expanded playoff even because of a lack of credibility to their schedule. I mean, hard for me to imagine that that would end up being the case, yet you never know when you don't really have a schedule in front of you. One thing's for sure, all of the games that you've got on the docket down the line probably don't have to be changed, but it would be hard to imagine that there wouldn't be, if the league started making this move, some schedule changes, some updates. I've even thought about the fact that, you know, we're already kind of inching towards the NFL model. I mean, it feels more and more like the NFL every day.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What if the schedules were a little more fluid from season to season, like this is going to make them, but also even out of conference games? I mean, I don't know why some of that stuff has to be done 15, 20 years in advance. I know it's great to look down the line and see that Clemson is going to be facing who knows who in 2034 or 35, whatever year. Obviously, Notre Dame's schedule is a little bit more laid out, but, you know, the Oklahomas and some of the other teams that have been on Clemson's schedule for season after season after season. Like, I don't know if all that's necessary, quite frankly. I also wonder, too, how any changes to the division format would affect, not like basketball or where it's already divisionless, but baseball where you've still got divisions, any other sport. You know, how does that affect travel? How does that affect the scheduling for those teams? Because there's some, it's kind of the weird thing about being in a conference, you don't have the same amount of teams playing all sports. Like, the straw that serves the drink is football, but not everybody plays soccer. Not everybody plays softball. Not everybody plays baseball. So how does that impact it? And then, additionally, you've got Notre Dame in every other sport, essentially, except for football, as a full-time member. So, you know, I don't pretend to have all the answers here, but I do know this. I think that if you are a fan that's tired of playing Wake or Louisville or not playing North Carolina enough, or you feel like you want to play Virginia Tech more or Virginia, good news, this is going to give that to you, I think. Just sort of loosely foreseeing how it should play out. This should set you up to be able to enjoy and watch other teams and go to other venues. And I think even for the players who come to school from a different state, I mean, there may have been seasons where a guy didn't get a chance to play in Virginia during his high school years, and he was a Virginia kid. One would assume that with a more rotational model like this, that would take place every 4 years. And I think that's a real, you know, it's not something that the fan necessarily sits at home and goes, man, can you believe Cleveland Farrell never got to play in the state of Virginia? Like, that's not something that's on your heart or your mind all that often. But I guarantee it's on the players' minds. And to know that you get to have that chance to play at every venue in your league at some point. Like, that's the other thing, too. Can you imagine going into the SEC and thinking about, man, all the great venues, and I can't wait to get to Bryant-Denny Stadium to check out, to be a part of the Alabama game and be on the sidelines and play in that environment. And then your 4 years, you don't even play there because of the schedule. That to me takes away some of what, again, existed previously. And it's not intimate the way it used to be, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. Every kid that plays in the Atlantic Coast Conference should get to play a game in Death Valley. Every kid that plays in the SEC should get to play at Bryant-Denny. Not to mention, let's not forget, the SEC with the expansion that they're going to be going through soon. Who knows how that league's going to handle it all. I said yesterday, I'll stand by it today. I think it's a possibility, albeit maybe a slim one, that we could see leagues kind of diverge back to 8-team divisions and not do any of the cross-conference stuff until like a championship, or even having like a little 4-team conference playoff, like the top two teams from each division play. Maybe even you cross-opponent them. Number one from one side plays number two from the other, something like that. And then the two champs face off for the conference championship. Like, I just don't know where it ends up. But it is definitely, we've definitely changed this sport. And again, no guarantee that the conferences are going to do this, or even the ACC, but with NIL and the transfer portal, and now this potentially being the next big shoe to drop, college sports, as you know it, has changed rapidly in the past 18 months. Rapidly. By the way, we've also got some thoughts for you on some comments from Mike Bray, Notre Dame head basketball coach. Some of his thoughts on the future of the sport. 803-450-0086. Don't forget we're on Twitter at Clemson Sports. We always appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out with us. Yeah, I think it was William Quackenbush yesterday that said jokingly, but yet I think truthfully, it's amazing we've got all this stuff going on with NIL and all these conversations about the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs, the bads and the goods. But yet we aren't any closer, it doesn't feel like, to a legitimate NCAA college football game. And I know there is the one that's supposed to be coming out, but even that is going to pale in comparison to what we all wanted, to what we all have wanted to be able to play since 2014. I mean, folks, we are closing in on a decade without arguably one of the greatest games, greatest sports games that anybody has ever played on a console. And there have been some really good games. I can't tell you the hours I spent playing things like Mario Kart or NFL Blitz football. But if you totaled all that time up and then you put it beside my time that I spent playing NCAA college football, It is a small number by comparison. I can remember, and many of you can as well, some of you will think we're nuts, I can remember standing in line outside of like a EB Games or a GameStop at midnight for the release of NCAA football and take it home and play a couple of games and then go to bed. You know, get to bed around 1 or 2 and then wake up and do it all over again. Like, I remember those days well. All the scheduling we could talk about, all of the, you know, everything we could dive into here today. I'm with William Quackenbush on this. Let's get, not this college football game or whatever they're calling it that's coming out. I want it back. NCAA, college football, 2022, 2023. I don't care when you give it to me. Just give it to me. Let's make it work. By the way, speaking of video games, when we get back, quick update. One league and EA Sports ending their video game partnership. We'll tell you who it is, and it's a big one right after this. Back at it, the show on Twitter, at Clemson Sports. All you Tiger fans rolling in for tonight's matchup over at Sagra Park. Shout out to you. I hope you subscribe to our Twitter account, at Clemson Sports. I hope you consider subscribing to our website, $1 for 3 months of coverage. If you like it, stay with us for just $63.17. That's right, Gamecock Nation. I said it, $63.17. So I mentioned before the break that a major sports league and EA Sports were severing their ties. And this one is a shocking one for me because I mentioned how good NCAA college football was for so many years. Well, I could make the argument that FIFA was the single best game in terms of sports that I've ever played. Just a fun, enjoyable game to play pretty much on any level, the highest, the lowest. It was just really, really authentic, I think. And I think it felt very realistic, but according to reports, they will end their nearly three-decade-long relationship after next year's Women's World Cup.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A FIFA video game will be disappearing after they failed to strike a new deal with the world's governing soccer body. Instead, EA Sports FC will be introduced from 2023 after the company creates the final game in a partnership with FIFA later this year. So, the good news, I guess, is the fact that it sounds like you're simply losing FIFA and not the game, after a little further digging here. But the bad side of that is, I feel like, it is sort of the fact that when some games have changed in the past, so too has the engines that run behind them. And I'm hopeful that that won't be the case here, that this game will stay the same, because it is a spectacular game. Matter of fact, I don't know how, but on the PlayStation, they had FIFA 2022 for free the other day, and I downloaded it. I got it. I'm in. $50? Nope. Didn't cost me anything. Absolutely free. So, with that out in front here, let's get back our college football, NCAA college football. Again, the name, that right? That's what I'm telling you. I don't know that this college football game is going to come back being the same as the old one. I need the old one back. And I hope I'm not clamoring in a year about needing FIFA back. I'm hopeful. And there's some other soccer games out there, but nothing ever matched FIFA, in my opinion. It has always been top of the mark, more than any other soccer game out there. Did not get into the NBA a whole lot yesterday, but I do want to get into it real quick here early in the show today. So we did not get the 2-2 across the board series matchups that I thought we might, but we came very close. And I have to admit, I said yesterday I thought that Ja Morant would have to be in a cast not to play. Ja did not play. His knee must really be hurt. Memphis leads the entire game until the final 45 seconds of action. Golden State holds on 101-98, the final score, to take a 3-1 series lead. Boston, Al Horford, the old man, the old sage, the old salt, had a fantastic performance in a 116-108 win for the Celtics on the road in Milwaukee. Horford with a playoff high 30 points in the ballgame. Jason Tatum also poured in 30 for the Celtics, as the Celtics knot that series up with the Bucks at two games apiece. The other two matchups, Philadelphia and Miami, they face off tonight in Miami, a 7:30 start. That game's on TNT. Then you got Phoenix and Dallas, a 10 p.m. start on TNT as well. Both series tied up at 2. Phoenix getting the home game tonight. Miami getting the home game, the two top seeds in each respective conference. I'll tell you, you watch these games, you see the way the game has been transformed. The fact that Jordan Poole is now one of the best shooters in the league, to me, is not by happenstance. We talked about his work ethic, the fact that he plays alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. The kid shooting a league best like 93% from the free throw line. Like, that stuff to me is not just dumb luck. Like, the fact that he's in the venue, you want to talk about a rise, the tide raising all boats? That's an excellent example of it. And I got to say that when I watch the NBA now, there was a period where I am with you, the league was boring. It was not good basketball. But you know what changed? Shooters came back. And there, I partially blame Michael Jordan a little bit. And Jordan was a good shooter, but Jordan created the era of the dribble, drive, penetrate, finish at the rim, explosive basketball player, and that's kind of the way the game went. Now, this game is much more open. The spacing, how quick these guys get up shots. And I don't love the fact that the back-to-the-basket big man has sort of vanished. You know, has been, the adaptation of the league, if you will, has eliminated the big man. The big man has almost gone the way of the dinosaurs. Extinct nearly. Well, dinosaurs are extinct. Let me clarify. The big man nearly. But there is, for me, it is a much more exciting game now when players are shooting the ball well. And the teams that you've got left in the playoffs, buddy, they are shooting the lights out. If you were at one point just like this basketball purist, you want to see great shooting. Catch a game. Any of these games, you'll see somebody shooting the lights out. There is no doubt about that. We'll hit a quick break and bounce back with more right after this. Stay with us. Rocking and rolling along with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Again, just a couple of beautiful days. Now, last night, I will say, last night got a little chilly. This morning had a little bit of chill in the air. Not enough, I don't think, to damage your plants if you're a big, you're a big lawn person, you're a big conservationist? What do you call somebody that works in the yard? Horticulturist. You might also be a conservationist, too. You might want to take care of the flowers, take care of the peas, take care of the trees, save those whales, save those snails. Thank you, George Carlin. But great weather. Holy moly. I couldn't. Listen, this, if you locked me in, you said, Swanee, what time of the year do you like the most? Typically, it's the fall. But this feels so much like the fall that you're not going to catch me. You're not going to catch your boy Swanee whining and complaining about the weather today. You can best believe that. 803-450-0086. Coming up on the program in hour number two, our buddy Mike Yuva set to join the program. Always appreciate Mike taking time out of his day to hang out with us to talk a little bit about the South Carolina Gamecocks, and even more specifically, I got to get into some more just about the direction of college football, maybe more so than the other sports. And that's kind of where this is. Like, college football, clearly, you know from the salaries of coaches, you know from the interest of fans, you know from every possible measure, it is the straw that stirs the college football drink, the college sports drink. And because of that, so much of what happens, I think, for college sports is going to be determined, and probably the outcomes will be developed in part by whatever decisions the power brokers of college football make. Because if and when all of these decisions come to fruition, leagues and how they're set up might change. And I'm not telling you that all these leagues are going to go away, but I would say it's possible. Now, when you are the big dog on the block, like if you're the SEC, and a lot of people won't like me saying that, but listen, when you're talking about the most powerful conference in college football, it is the SEC. Doesn't mean that the Clemsons of the world can't win national titles. But at some point, the NFC and the AFC, or excuse me, the NFL and the AFL, at some point, those two leagues said, hey, you know what? We're better under one umbrella. We're better sharing the wealth. Same thing with the ABA and the NBA. And believe me, if those guys can get past their differences and not try to just go toe-to-toe with each other to be at the top, then I don't know why it would be any different for college football. Because to me, if indeed that is how, you know, how this all shakes out, that the leagues end up saying, all right, we're going to just be one big boy college football conglomerate, and they all decide that they're going to get in bed together and share the wealth and share the revenue and share the TV rights and really NFLize. I might have just come up with it, NFLize. It's sort of a combination of NFL and ally, like, you know, NFLize. I think I kind of like that term, actually. What are you guys doing over there? Are you going to NFLize that or what? Yes, we were just about to. Give us a few minutes. We'll have conferences and a Super Bowl. That could be sort of where we're headed. To a decision that is made by the biggest of leagues to essentially lock arms, share the wealth, and go after as much money as they can. I don't know, you know, the ins and the outs of how the divisions and the leagues and everything will look, but I like the idea of the schedule changes we're seeing, but it is very hard for me to sit here on May the 10th, 2022, and I can't look you in your eyes. But it would be very difficult if I could to look you in your eyes and tell you that I think that, you know, conferences are just going to stay the way they are. You know, I don't think it's going to be one of those things based off of everything we've seen recently where you go, well, Joe, it's always been like that, so I just don't see any reason for changing it, to be honest with you. Now, I don't know why that's what I think somebody sounds like that's not willing to change something. Well, Joe, I don't know why we would consider changing that. It's always been this way. There, I'll give you that guy too. Nonetheless, I just can't, I can't in my right mind say to anybody with a straight face that anything you hear around the water cooler about any potential change that somebody would make, there's no reason for me to tell you at this point that can't happen. I think all bets are off with what the future of college football looks like. Listen, you might not like this next statement I'm going to make, but David Hale tweeted this as well from the conversations, the talk with Mike Bray. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how far we are from it. And I don't know if it means Dabo Swinney quits, but Mike Bray said he has heard discussions of the possibility of the Power 5 breakaway and entering into contracts with players in an employer-slash-employee relationship. Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, assured coaches that was not happening anytime soon. Let me tell you, that's the model Swinney. If you want to be the person that says, well, that's what Swinney said he wasn't going to coach in, I'll give you. That is exactly what he said he wasn't going to coach in. And I don't know that we're not going to eventually get there. There is so much change happening right now. This would essentially be like if you were going to renovate your house and you had 15 different contractors come out. There's so much going on, I don't know what it's going to look like when it's done. With a quick break, we'll come back, we'll put a bow on hour number one. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one here on a Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget about my buddy Rob Sanders. You can catch him on the rundown from 3 until 4 o'clock leading into this program. And then Teddy Hefner from 9 until noon right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. You can also listen around the world on the iHeart Radio application. 803-450-0086. I mentioned this earlier. I'll bring it up again, though. Don't forget our website, clemsonsportstalk.com. Right now, $1 gets you 3 months of coverage. If you like what we give you, stick with us for $63.17. That's right, Gamecocks. I said it loud. I say it proud. $63.17 for 1 year of coverage for all you Tiger fans. And I hope every single Tiger fan that makes their way into the Midlands tonight for the Clemson matchup against the College of Charleston over at Segra Park will have quite an evening, as that is a beautiful, beautiful facility. My son just got home from school a few minutes ago. Thought about checking with him to see if he might be interested in going over there and watching a little Tiger baseball tonight. Clemson enters the game 31-17. The College of Charleston 31-15. So real quick, back to that. So if I'm there, I'll see you there. Go Tigers. The first pitch scheduled for 7:05. It's going to be on the ACC Network Extra. Brad Owens and William Quackenbush are going to be on the call for the ACC Network Extra. You can also listen to it on ClemsonTigers.com. Clemson leads the all-time series incredibly, 30-4 all-time, dating back to 1899. Ricky Williams, the right-handed pitcher for Clemson, right here out of the Lexington area over at River Bluff High School, going up against Reed Paris out of Coastal. You know what it is, though, when it's written out as COC? I just want to say Coastal. College of Charleston, the right-handed pitcher there. Clemson has a 3-0 record in neutral site games this season, and they swept Georgia Tech in a three-game series at Doug Kingsmore Stadium. Clemson moved up to number 18 in the RPI, as we mentioned yesterday. It is the sixth best RPI among teams in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And more importantly, right now, Clemson is in. The Tigers are in the Atlantic Coast Conference tournament. If the season were to end today, just a couple of more series remaining on the road at Virginia, big series, and then a potential sweep opportunity perhaps looming in the final regular season home series against Boston College. Clemson knocked off College of Charleston earlier this season back in February by a score of 2-1. So very competitive contest earlier this year. between these two teams. And I guarantee you, if you have never been, as I said a few minutes ago, if you have never been to Segra Park for a game and this is your first time venturing in, it is a beautiful, beautiful facility. There's not a bad seat in the house, quite frankly. Not a bad seat in the house. All right, real quick, couple of things to button up here. Hour number one. Did you see the video last month of Mike Tyson on an airplane? Some jack wagon getting in his grill over and over, messing with him from behind, talking to him, you know, just some guy and his buddy acting like Bozo the Clown, being aggressive, harassing. You know what this is? This, I mean, if you're messing with Mike Tyson, man, that's poking a bear with a stick. And there were some people that thought Mike Tyson might end up being charged after he turned around and started wailing on the guy. Mike Tyson will not, however, be charged in connection with that incident. According to the San Mateo County District Attorney, that news coming out earlier today, they said, quote, "We have reviewed the police reports of the San Francisco Police Department and the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office and have viewed the various videos collected by law enforcement from others on the airplane. Our decision is that we will not file any charges against Mr. Tyson based on the circumstances surrounding the confrontation. These include the conduct of the victim leading up to the incident, the interaction between Tyson and the victim, as well as the requests of both the victim and Mr. Tyson that no charges be filed in this case." So, sounds like everybody was like, all right, let's just drop this, the guy that was being the jack wagon, and Mike Tyson. Why in the world anybody in their right mind would get on an airplane? Why would you lock yourself in a tube with the man that at one point was absolutely the baddest man on the planet? Still can't believe Buster Douglas beat him, although I did watch that entire fight as a kid. Man, was that a moment for me as a kid. But why in the world would you think that it would be a good idea to lean in on Mike Tyson in an airplane is beyond me. I didn't see. They called him an aggressive passenger. I didn't see anything if the guy was inebriated, well hydrated. Had he been sucking back on grandpa's old cough medicine? I don't know. But I'll be honest, when you've got the history that Mike Tyson has with the incidents that he's had in the past and the time that he spent in jail, I mean, that's one moment that could probably throw you right back in the hooscow for sure. And why somebody would think it wise to mess with Tyson, I have no idea. I think it wise, however, to hang out with our buddy Mike Yuva, and that's what we're going to do when we get back. Stay with us for more of the show that shakes the Southland.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
On a Tuesday afternoon.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set. Just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
We'll be right back.
hour number two. That's drive time right here on the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk, of course. Clemson Tiger baseball team invading the Midlands this afternoon as they'll take on the College of Charleston over at Segra Park. And Gamecock fans in the Midlands will probably be riding around wondering, why in the world are there so many Clemson Tiger fans around today? Well, that's the reason, Gamecock Nation, as the Tigers invade the Midlands to take on the home team, mind you, the College of Charleston Cougars. Again, that matchup set to begin at 7:05 this evening, weather permitting. Our good buddy covers the South Carolina Gamecocks, Mike Yuva from GamecockCentral.com, joins the program every Tuesday afternoon. And Mike, buddy, it has been an eventful week already in a lot of respects on the front of college football, the NIL, divisionless leagues. I mean, there's just so much to absorb. It's wild to me how much it feels like college football has changed or is potentially changing over the past 18 or so months.
And the crazy thing is, Juan, I don't feel like we're anywhere close to it slowing down, right, or stopping. You talk about NIL, that's obviously been a discussion on your program that we've had for the last, it seems like, last couple weeks. But you just see everything changing. Conferences, super conferences, what's that going to look like, schedule breakdowns. It's a busy time. And I think you can look at other sports, too, to a lesser degree. The NHL has changed their playoff format up a little bit. So I say all this because I feel like just the landscape of sports as a whole, we're seeing just formats that we're accustomed to changing and evolving, whether that's for the good or for the worse. Only time will tell. But for college athletics, specifically football, as you alluded to, it is certainly changing quickly. And who knows what it's going to look like in the next couple of years, especially once Texas and Oklahoma come into the SEC.
Mike, you know, one of the things I think that is, I don't know if the right word is the most frustrating about it, but it is certainly, I think, a part of the reason that it is a constant conversation for guys like me and guys like you is because it almost feels like there's nobody flying the plane. Like, they keep telling me I got to put on my life vest, I got to buckle my belt, no smoking lights on, can't use the restroom. But I don't know that there's anybody running the plane. Like, you know what I mean? It just feels like we're literally flying by the seat of our pants sometimes.
Well, and I think that's the part that upsets a lot of people, whether that be coaches, whether that be fans, whether that be boosters, whoever the case may be. It's that there's just no control. And I think it goes back to something that a lot of people, when I say people, I'm talking, you know, the people that I see on the message boards for Gamecock Central, social media, the people that I speak with, you know, day in and day out, it seems like the more that these changes occur, and I know specifically we're talking about football, but you can talk about basketball and baseball and all the other sports as well. I mean, you need some type of commissioner. You do. You do for college football. I think that would help out a lot. It makes really no sense when you look at it. You have conferences that have commissioners, but why don't you have one true commissioner for football? It doesn't make any sense. I think it would help things out a little bit, but I know just by naming someone and putting someone with a title wouldn't ultimately change things overnight, but I just think it would help us get a little bit more unified when we're talking about trying to make the sport, specifically football, but you can do this for basketball, as I said, or baseball as well. I think it would just bring some unity together in a time right now where there is a lot of wild, wild west movement going on, regardless if it's the NIL talks or rule changes, schedule change, or whatever the case may be. It's just like everyone's kind of doing their own thing because that's how it's been. Conferences kind of just control what they want to do.
Mike Yuva, again, joining us here, GamecockCentral.com, Mike_UVA. Go follow him on Twitter. And so from that standpoint, Mike, I was listening to a show today. I don't listen to many shows, but I just happened to catch one today, and they were saying that I think Georgia, this is in the SEC, obviously, I don't think Georgia has played on the road at Texas A&M. Now, that's a venue because Carolina's the cross-divisional opponent that the Gamecocks have been to. But, I mean, is that the other part of the concept of, you know, obviously with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, the SEC schedules are going to be changing. But, I mean, is that the other part of it? Like, you're in these leagues, but then, like, Clemson and Virginia, it feels like they never play. You know, you've got these opponents that are supposed to be in your conference, but you never see them on your schedule.
No, it's a good point, and I was just looking at something that Timber Ray put out a little while ago, talking about from the ACC standpoint with the proposed 3-5-5 format. He brought up that right now, with how things are, the current system, it takes 12 years to see every ACC school come through Death Valley. I mean, just think about that. First off, that just makes no sense, right? So I'm specifically speaking about the ACC. But you could talk about the SEC, you could talk about some of these other conferences as well. I mean, this format would change it where every team would at least come from the ACC at least to Death Valley once in a four-year period. So I say that because I think back to when I was working at Watch Fox, and Corey Miller, former Gamecock, he was still working there, and his son Christian played at Alabama. And he was there for 5 years because he redshirted his freshman year. And he never had an opportunity, never mind the fact of playing at Williams-Brice, he never had a chance to play South Carolina, period. 5 years. Never had a chance to be able to play South Carolina. So I say that because how is that possible?
Yeah.
Why is that possible? You know, it makes no sense. I think it's better for the sport. I really do. I think back, I mean, I used Alabama for example, but I think back to when Alabama played South Carolina in 2018. It was their first time playing at South Carolina since the Stephen Garcia year in 2010, when South Carolina was able to beat the Tide. And Alabama fans traveled extremely well. I think it helps the sport. You know, I get it. There's going to be built-in rivalries. I get that. I understand that from a conference standpoint, right? But why wouldn't you? If you're talking about growing the sport, we hear different sports talk about all the time. We hear different conferences. Oh, we want to grow the sport. Okay? I don't care what the sport is. This is a tremendous way to grow the sport, be able to have different matchups. So it's not always the same thing year in and year out. Yeah, you can have your Georgias, you know, if you're South Carolina, you're in the same division. Yeah. But why aren't you mixing it up from a East versus West standpoint when you're talking about the SEC? And I think the ACC has a good idea right now. I really do. And I think when you look at where the SEC is headed with Texas and Oklahoma, are you going to go into pods, which is something that we've seen talking heads and fans bring up the last couple months? Or do they go to a format where there is no divisions and it's just the conference itself, which we have in baseball, which we have in basketball for the SEC?
I'll give it to you. You know, I don't know that we're going to figure out the answers just yet, especially, you know, in this two-hour block that I've got here on the show today, Mike. But I think one of the things that we are seeing is the appreciation for the fact that when leagues were smaller, I called it more intimate, and you faced everybody every season, so you kind of knew the players, you kind of knew the teams, and some of that does feel lost, and maybe this, in some weird way, is kind of like a hearkening back to that just a little bit, because they're trying to get these teams into these venues more frequently. I mean, that's the one thing I will say that I like is that, you know, for crying out loud, man, when you and I were growing up, you played everybody every year, and that's what made a league a league. And if we don't get back to that at some point soon, then why not just break apart these 16-team leagues into, say, 8-team divisions and just play the teams in your division and have, like, some kind of, you know, mini championship tournament style, maybe to even get into the college football playoff. Does that make sense?
It does. And we hear fans gripe about this all the time. Oh, why can't it be fair? This isn't fair. You know, you want fair? That would be fair. There would be fair if you eliminate divisions. You want the two best teams competing for a conference championship? Good, have them. Because there's been years, and we've seen it, right? We've seen it where, I'm just using the SEC for example, we've seen Alabama and LSU playing the national championship. Heck, this past year, We saw Georgia and Alabama play in the national championship, and obviously they're different divisions. But the point being is you want the two best teams. You want the two best teams in your conference playing in the conference championship. So there's been years where LSU has lost to Alabama in the regular season, and that essentially eliminated them from contention to being able to play in the conference championship. Now, I know that on the flip side, there's going to be people saying, well, that's the beauty of college football, that the regular season matters. It does. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the two best teams, and we've seen different cases, not to make excuses, sometimes the player's hurt for that game. Maybe the ball bounces the wrong way. But LSU, they only have one loss in the regular season. I'm just using this as an example. They only have one loss in the regular season to Alabama. And you're going to have some team out in the SEC East that has three conference losses.
Right.
In the championship. And like, really? So, you know, you want to talk about fair. I think that would make it fair. I think the challenging part, though, is it's not going to be perfect, is that there could be a scenario where you have two teams that are ahead of you and you didn't have an opportunity to play either of them, you know, or, you know, your schedule might be a little bit more difficult one year than the other. I mean, there's no perfect solution, but not each year will be viewed as fair to some fan bases, but in the big picture, the big scheme of it all, it will be fair because you are rotating more frequently than you are currently, whether that be in the SEC or the ACC.
Mike Yuva does a tremendous job for GamecockCentral.com and the On3 Network covering the South Carolina Gamecocks. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you a real big hypothetical here. Could we see a day where you kind of mentioned a commissioner? Could we see a day? You know, it's already resembling the NFL to a degree, right? I mean, could we see a day where there's not the league, it's regionalized, and there's not the SEC and there's not the ACC. It's just everybody's playing in like this college, whatever we call it, football league, and it's all for one for all, and the money's split amongst all the teams. Does that make sense? Kind of like the NFL, but times two, right? With like 64 teams or so.
I think it'd be challenging. I think we've seen different proposals, and I say proposals. I'm saying more so with the talking heads, right? Nothing from the NCAA, so I make that clear,
right,
of where the sport could go. And I know I keep using the phrase super conferences because I just feel like that's going to be the direction that it heads in right now, right? At the end of the day, we all know this. Money makes the world go round. The SEC is essentially going to be able to create a mini monopoly as to what they're going to be able to do adding Texas and Oklahoma, because that conference, from a money standpoint, you're not going to be able to compete. You're just not going to be able to. You're the ACC or the Big Ten. I mean, they have the tradition. They have the brand recognition. You know, the Big Ten, yes, you have Michigan. Yes, you have Ohio State. Certainly those two teams will be able to generate some money. But from top to bottom, it's just how are you going to compete? If you're a major network, you're going to want to be able to have the SEC as part of some bundle package. So if you're the ACC, if you're the Big Ten, and we've seen and heard different rumblings over the last couple months, what can you do to be able to, you know, get maybe some of these other teams to be able to pair up and make some type of super conference, if you will? So I say all that, Swanee, because at some point, if there's a way for everyone to get a piece of the pie and make more than they're making, which starts with the SEC, because like I said, the SEC is going to be in great position. They're going to be in a great position to be able to make a lot of money, these 16 teams. If they feel like they can make more, then maybe they do break off into some larger Division I, you know, like you have two Division I's, two tiers of FBS, if you will. Because obviously there's the FBS and then there's the FCS. But you might have two tiers of FBS where it's essentially kind of like a, like you said, 64 team or whatever the case may be, and you're competing. And you have an opportunity to expand the playoffs and you're able to do multiple things. So I don't think that is crazy to rule out, because like I said, if these teams, if these universities feel like they can make more money, then they will do something like that. The playoffs getting expanded, if they feel like they'd be able to capitalize and make more money, they will do that. The question is, what does the SEC do? Because if they're making a lot of money, do they really need to do that? No. So I think that's one thing you have to ask yourself. How does that benefit the SEC? And we could sit here and be like, oh, you know, classic SEC, they think they're better than everyone. I'm not saying that. I'm just throwing up the facts. They're going to be generating more money than any other conference this year, especially when you think about where they're going to be heading in the next couple of years once Texas and Oklahoma come on board in conference play.
The other thing we didn't even mention during all of that is that whole focus, and this is probably the other side of the coin that we need to polish and investigate a little bit, is that we're just talking football, right? Like, I mean, don't forget we've got all these other, you know, basketball and baseball and other sports that this would affect in some way, shape, or form. So the future is certainly going to be something to keep your eyeballs on, I think, with college sports. And if you're a Gamecock, you want to keep up with it over at GamecockCentral.com. Mike Yuva, he's on Twitter at Mike_UVA. All right, Mike, we'll wrap it up with you here today. I know this past weekend the South Carolina Gamecocks struggled in a couple of matchups against Texas A&M, but they win the final game in that series 9-4. They've got USC upstate this evening. Of course, Clemson is going to be playing in Columbia as well tonight, taking on the College of Charleston. And then the Gamecocks have two conference series essentially left against Kentucky and Florida. About 500 right now on the year. What's the vibe in Columbia as it pertains to the Gamecock baseball team?
I think it's just being able to move on from this past weekend series. And I know you can be saying that all season long. The weird thing is, Swanee, and I put this out the other day, I really don't think – I'm not saying this baseball team for USC is good or great by any means. Let me preface that. But I don't think they're as bad as some people think they are. I think the problem is they just have some flaws about them that are so bad that when they do show up, whether that be the bullpen, the lack thereof,
right,
it is so bad that it just takes away from any positives that they have. So I think we saw that from this past weekend. You know, I mean,
it's like,
you think
it's
about
like
it,
mold. It's like mold in a nice house.
Well, think about this, right? Yes. From a hitting standpoint, they have just been awful so far this season, right? But at the same time, too, what they did against Texas A&M, a top 15 team, they were able to absolutely hit lights out on Saturday, and they did the same on Sunday. The issue, they just couldn't close the deal because of their lack of arms in the bullpen, and they almost did the same thing again on Sunday. So it makes no sense sometimes when you look at this team. They haven't made sense all season because the games that they – have no business even being in, they'll make them a game. And then the games that they should be able to win, they lose. So it's been a roller coaster of a season for South Carolina. There's no question about it. But when you look at some of their wins this year, it's going to keep them at least in the conversation for postseason play. Do I feel like they're going to make it? No. They're going to have to do some real damage in Hoover, a place that they've struggled at historically. I mean, even the years when they won national championships, it hasn't always been easy for them in Hoover. So I think this is a team that for, you know, look, and it's not making excuses. Injuries happen. I mean, they definitely were put behind the eight ball a little bit to start the year, but at the same time, too, they just have not been able to put it all together.
Mike, buddy, we'll talk to you next week. Always appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Swanee.
803-450-0086. It is the show that shakes the Southland as we roll along here on another beautiful Tuesday afternoon in the Midlands of South Carolina. Stay with us. Back at it, Tuesday afternoon, Clemson Sports Talk. Man, awesome catching up with Mike Yuva there to get some ins and the outs of the future of college football. Not a lot to get into on the South Carolina Gamecock front, really. And, you know, look, you look at the South Carolina baseball team right now. I mentioned they're right at 500. I think 24-22 heading into tonight's game singular for the Gamecocks. And certainly a disappointing year. And maybe some Carolina fans will say, heck, we knew it when we got swept by Clemson. that we weren't going to have a really good season, but then they bounced back. You know, at the time, they beat number one Texas, and they've had some moments. But again, much like Clemson, just sometimes can't seem to get out of their way, their own way. The Tigers, however, tonight do have a big challenge ahead of them in a very good College of Charleston team. And I think more specifically for Clemson at this point is the fact that, yeah, in the ACC, they've maneuvered themselves into a good spot. But now you got to go.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You got to go and take care of these midweek games, these final two midweek games. One this week against College of Charleston, one next week against Coastal. And then probably, I think, win 5 out of 6 just to be safe about the Atlantic Coast Conference tournament. I think you got to win 5 out of 6. The sweep this past weekend was huge because it counterbalanced being swept a weekend ago to Louisville. And wiggle room was something that Clemson baseball has really not had at all this year. And by virtue of their sweep against a top 20 team, where they sit currently in the RPI rankings, you might argue they built a little bit of wiggle room. 803-450-0086. 803-450-0086. All right, so Tom Brady retired and then unretired, and now apparently when he finally does retire, he's not going to be retired. Now, did you get all that? I know it sounds like a poorly written Dr. Seuss book, but Tom Brady will be joining Fox Sports with a lucrative deal as their lead NFL analyst when his playing career comes to an end. Now, that's huge. That's huge. And so is the contract. 10 years, $375 million, the most lucrative in sports broadcasting history. And mind you, not something he's ever done. That deal, according to the New York Post, but Fox has not disclosed what the number is. Tom Brady tweeted, excited, but a lot of unfinished business on the field with the Buccaneers. But can you imagine Tom Brady, a guy who has won more Super Bowls, arguably the most successful quarterback? Maybe there's no argument. I mean, some people, like you, I will grant you there are some nutty fans out there that are all in for Joe Montana or whatever. The GOAT. He will make during his career as a player, okay? 23 years at the end of this season. $317 million. $317 in 20 years. Fox is willing to give him $375 million for a 10-year contract. Half of the time, more money just to be the lead analyst. Now, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, who were comboing that spot together, Aikman being the lead analyst previously, both went to ESPN. now Tom Brady, who is about to turn 45, will get an opportunity whenever it is he leaves. He will make more in the first 10 years of his announcing career than he did in his playing career. And the thing is, okay, and help me out with this. I've never been great with math, but I don't think this is a math formula or a math problem. How is that possible? Is that simply a byproduct of the salary cap limiting him all these years? And I know there were years where he took less so his team could have more. His wife was, for years, the breadwinner in the family. But is that the case, or is this, in your estimation, a byproduct of being on the best game every week? Because as a player, let me tell you what Tom Brady was not playing in every week: the best game, the most eyeballs. This puts Brady on the best game every week. Every single Sunday afternoon, Tom Brady is on the call of the best game, well, at least in the NFC. It's the best game. But $375 million. Let me tell you what. If I am a quarterback in the NFL right now, I am working up the vocal cords every time I'm throwing the football. Juice me up. I'm ready to go. Hookmeup.com. Tony Romo has been the lead analyst with CBS since 2017. After his 14-year career with the Cowboys, Drew Brees going to be working as a football analyst at NBC after 20 years in the NFL. You know, you got Peyton and Eli teaming up with their Manning cast. And now this, Brady, the $375 million man. Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man. Rolling with you, Clemson Sports Talk. I'm still trying to figure that out. Like, I don't love to carry over a topic all that often here on the show. But the more I, like, scrounged around in that number in my brain and then compared it to what he made, what Tom Brady made as a player. Look, if you're just joining us, Tom Brady, in his career, at the end of this season, will have made, I think the number was $317 million as a player. Not everything he's gotten from endorsements, just playing the game. $317 million. 23 years in the NFL. Taking hits, getting knocked down, injuries. 23 years, $317 million. And according to the New York Post, he will be the lead analyst. Well, this is not just according to the Post, but he's going to be the lead analyst for Fox Sports when it comes down to their football coverage when he retires finally. And they are willing to pay him $375 million for 10 years. I mean, you start to run that number out to a, you know, 23-year deal, and you're talking about $37 million times $37.5 million, excuse me, times 23 years. That's $862.5 million, okay, in a 23-year career. If he were to announce as long as he played, he would make nearly $1 billion if his rate was the same the whole time. $1 billion as an announcer. Now, let's assume there are 16 games that he calls a season. We'll have to bump it to 20, right? You get some playoff games. You put him on 20 games a year for 23 years. That's roughly 460 games that he's going to call, which means he is going to make $1.875 million, nearly $2 million every time he puts the headset on in the booth. And I know there's more that goes into doing a broadcast than just the 4 hours that he's on the air. But let me tell you, if you want to give old Swanee $468,000 for every hour I'm on the radio, let's just make this show, let's just go 24 hours a day, baby. Let's just crank it up to 24 hours a day. Because I want to pull in some kind of ridiculous number that my calculator can't even get, like $4.1 trillion a year. What are we? In a sense, do you hope? In a sense, do you hope that number's wrong? Like, not because you don't like Tom Brady, but because that just seems like a ridiculous number to you as a human being, as a guy or a lady, you know, doing the 9-to-5 thing. Do you secretly hope that's not an accurate number? Like, in your head, do you go, that's absurd. There's no way somebody would get paid that, even Tom Brady. I think it hits me twofold, though. It does. It hits me twofold. One, because he's played so long. Two, because of how incredibly successful he is. Three, because he's made 320 whatever million at the end of this year, 317 million. All the numbers are starting to rattle around in my brain. Yeah, 317 at the end of this year. But the fact that they are willing to pay him more than he's ever made. Like, he is the greatest football player. And again, I know some of you might argue it. He's the greatest football player ever, just statistically speaking. He earned every dime of that money and probably deserved more in the mind's eye of some. He could be the worst announcer in the history of mankind. I mean, he could be awful. But he's going to be awfully rich. Like, what if he's really bad? Well, Tom, what did you make of that one? Incomplete, I think. Great, back to you. Like, 300, folks. 75 million. That's the report. Maybe it's wrong. How much is he worth in your mind? Because in my mind, as an announcer, there's no announcer worth that. None. Now, there might be other ways to make incredible money. Like if you follow the John Madden. You know, John Madden's rise and with Madden, the NFL video game and all that, like, there are ways that you can create a brand if you're in that capacity, but my goodness, what a shocking number that was for me. Some of you driving home are probably calculating in your head and going, God, is that right? Did Swanee misspeak? No, 375 is what they said. 375 million. Final segment. I don't know how we get there, man. It happens, though. It's quick. 803-450-0086. Our website. Put the .com on it. Doggone it. ClemsonSportsTalk.com. We'll hit a quick break. We'll put a big old bow on the Tuesday edition of the show that shakes the Southland. You are listening to Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400 and, of course, heard around the world on the iHeart Radio app. Stay with us.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Tuesday afternoon. All right, I got some clarification here. So, even though my theory on the 3-3-5 model made a lot of sense to me, I mean, I don't know about you, it made a lot of sense to me, saying essentially your three annual opponents, three non-conference opponents, five teams that you swap from your conference, and then I said your one rival. That would be more of a 3-3-5-1 model. But anyway, that was just a mistweet by David Hale. It's a 3-5-5 scheduling model. Your three annual, and then the other five teams from the league swap on and off every other year, which means in a four-year span, as Mike Yuva mentioned earlier, you would play everybody. You would play everybody at your venue and everybody at home. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I actually like it. I want to know who those annual rivals are. Again, I said earlier, I think for Clemson, I would want to keep Florida State. I'd probably like to keep Georgia Tech. And then I think maybe NC State. But I'm not opposed with the way, if you got it set up like this, to getting a little bit jiggy with it and mixing it up some. I think I'm okay with that too. All that being said, it definitely feels like this would bring more of that continuity back to the league, as I mentioned earlier. And that for me, that's not a non-negotiable, but I think it's fair to say that that's something that we've really missed with the conferences being as large as they've become. I think we've really missed venues and places like, and Mike Yuva mentioned it, kind of looking at the situation with Christian Miller and Corey Miller when Christian was at Alabama. And again, this is the ACC thinking about this and not the SEC. The SEC's got their own ball of wax to try to figure out with the expansion of that league. But I do think that keeps the conference feeling more like a conference. And I know many of you Clemson fans have enjoyed trips to Boston College. You've enjoyed trips to Syracuse. But you still want to go to Virginia. You want to go to Charlottesville. You want to go to Blacksburg. You want to go to Miami. You want to go to these other places. And this schedule will give you that opportunity in a relatively small window. And I think that's what we're reaching for. We're reaching back, sort of, while this whole thing transforms in front of us with NIL and the transfer portal. We don't have to like it. We can argue about it. We can fuss. It's because there's no regulation at this point, really. It's just so, ugh. There are probably some people out there that like it, but it's like art. Like, there's a lot of pieces of art that are worth a lot of money that I think look like garbage, quite frankly. And so, I think we can all look at this, and some of us are going to look at it and go, God, that is garbage. And other people can go, that is genius. But I do think that in this era, and maybe it changes, and like I said, maybe we end up with some kind of, you know, we NFL-ize it. Boy, that's a beautiful word. Copyright, NFL-ize. I think if we do NFL-ize it, this will all go by the wayside anyway. But I think at this point, when you got a chance and an opportunity to make some changes, and now they're clearly not as pinned in on conference champions having to come out of 12-team leagues or 12-team larger leagues with a, you know, with a two-division champion, thanks to the Big 12 and the way they've been able to do it the past couple of years, then you know what? Why not look at making changes to liven up your scheduling? You know, and that's the other thing, too. I can only really see it from the Clemson fans' perspective. Right? Imagine being somebody else. Like, I don't know who. But you pick the team, like a Duke or an NC or a North Carolina, maybe, and think about their schedule and the fact that they had to schedule a Wake Forest in a non-conference game. And that tells you everything you need to know about how this current model wasn't fitting the needs of every team in this league. And I'm certainly not one to bend the knee to North Carolina, but I get it. You want to play your rivals. I talked about it a lot after watching the tournament, that ESPN or that ACC Network show about the ACC basketball. And I'd love to get back to home and homes with everybody in basketball. I'd love that. Wow. You got to be kidding me. 2 hours in the books already. Tiger baseball tonight, Segra Park. Hope to see you there. I may or may not make my way. I haven't quite decided yet. Going to talk to the wife and kids now when I get off the air. We shall talk to you tomorrow, however. And until then, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.